Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to give you three reasons for the Lord's Supper, and this will teach us a little bit, help us to remember a little bit, and just, I think, maybe prepare our hearts before we observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 is where we're going to start. We have instructions, and often this is where we get our instructions for observing the Lord's Supper, and we'll read through these here this evening. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, number 23. I'll read through verse 25 and we'll get started. We'll come back and we'll look at a little bit more. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He's writing to Christians in the church in Corinth, and he says this, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The first reason for the Lord's Supper is obviously to remember the Lord Jesus. It's a time for us to stop everything else that's going on. We live busy lives. We are busier than any generation before us. We're constantly going. We're constantly bombarded with information. It used to be that you could get away for a little while when you were driving between places and nobody could get a hold of you. But now they can get a hold of you even when you're in between places. And not only that, but you can check the news and find out what everybody else is doing, what they had for lunch and breakfast, and what they fed their dog, and everything else. It's a very busy, busy life that we live. And this is an opportunity for us to just stop everything else and remember the Lord Jesus. Remember what He did for us. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity to pull away from every distraction and focus our attention on Jesus and His sacrifice for us. Such an important thing to get away from everything else and just focus on our Savior for just a little bit. The bread that we will eat helps us to remember the body of the Lord Jesus. I'll give you some verses. You may not have time to turn to all of them, but I'll give you the reference and I'll read it to you. In John 6:35, Jesus said that He is the bread of life. And the bread that we'll observe this evening, we'll partake of this evening, helps us to remember the body of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." As we remember the body of our Lord Jesus, and in a moment we'll hold that piece of bread, and it's a broken piece of bread, and it's an unleavened piece of bread, and we'll hold that, and I'll encourage you just to look at that and remember this piece of broken bread represents the broken body of our Savior, as we preached about this morning, and as Isaiah chapter 53 describes. The body of Jesus, first of all, was perfect. This is very important for us to understand. He was sinless. Jesus never sinned. Yes, He was God, and He left heaven and came to this earth, but at the same time, He was man. And He had the option to sin. He had the opportunity to sin, but He never did. The Bible says He was tempted in every way, just like we are tempted, but still He never sinned. His body was perfect. Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The bread that we remember the body of Jesus by is unleavened, and it represents the sinless body of Jesus Christ. So often through the Scripture, leaven represents sin. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper this evening, the unleavened bread represents the sinless body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus was perfect, and the body of Jesus was broken. That's why the bread that we'll eat here in just a little bit is broken bread. As Jesus and His disciples ate His last supper in the upper room in Jerusalem, I want you to picture this. John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 all recount what happened up in that upper room right before Jesus went to go die on the cross. He knew what was going to happen. He's trying to prepare his disciples for what was going to happen, but he knew. He was ready to give his body to be beaten and crucified. As Jesus passed, he broke the bread and passed it to his disciples. He knew that his body was about to be broken. Can you just imagine? I've tried. Imagine as Jesus breaks the unleavened bread, which is very similar to the bread that we're going to have this evening. He breaks it and he passes it to each one of the men that were there in the upper room. And he, as he breaks it, realizing this is what's going to happen to me. My body is going to be broken for these and for every other person in this world. Isaiah had said his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man, to the point where he was unrecognizable as a human being. I can't imagine that. No artist can portray it correctly. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, talking about his body. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The body of Jesus Christ. You've got to remember this. He was human. He was all God, but he was all man. And since he was all man, he felt all that pain. Sometimes we want to look at it and say, well, he was God, he could deal with it, but he was all man. Every bit of pain that you would have felt, he felt. Every bit of hurt that you would have felt, he hurt. Psalm 22:14 prophesied the crucifixion and said, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. This graphic description of what actually happened to our Savior's heart and how all of his bones were out of joint. I've only had one joint come out of joint. It's happened several times, but the pain of that was excruciating. He said, all my bones are out of joint. The body of Jesus Christ, we remember it when we eat the bread, and that's one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper. The juice that we drink helps us to remember the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me help you understand something. There are some religions that will tell us that the bread and the juice actually turn into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a false teaching that's not in the Bible that's called transubstantiation. The bread never becomes the body of Jesus Christ. The juice that we drink never becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just a way for us to remember his suffering. Hebrews 9:12, the Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Whole studies can be done. Sermons can be preached and whole series of sermons. You can study this, but just very quickly, I want you to remember some of the things, the attributes, if you would, of the blood of Jesus Christ. First of all, the blood of Jesus Christ justifies us. It makes us just as if I'd never sinned. Easy way to remember the word justified. Hebrews 9:12, we just read that. The Bible talks about him justifying us, obtaining eternal redemption for us. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us. 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. His blood. It's very important. You can't have salvation without the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was divine blood. It was the blood of God himself. It wasn't Joseph's blood. It wasn't Mary's blood. It was not blood that had come down from Adam and Eve like our sinful blood has, but it's the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ justifies us. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us. The blood of Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, purchases our salvation. Listen to this. The command was, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased you when he shed his blood. What a thought. His blood purchased you, purchased me. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us. Hebrews 13, 12, the Bible says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. There is so much more to salvation than just what maybe you understand whenever you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as you live longer and you study the Bible more, you realize, wow, Jesus shed his blood and he did all of this for me. The blood of Jesus Christ redeems us. Colossians 1:14, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That means he created us and we belonged to him. But because of sin, we turned our back and we walked away. But the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price to buy us back. What an amazing truth that is. The juice that we drink helps us to remember the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread that we eat helps us to remember the body of Jesus Christ. The reason for the Lord's Supper, first of all, is to remember the Lord Jesus. The great reason we're all here tonight is to remember the Lord Jesus. This really doesn't fit right here, but it just comes to mind, and I just feel led to say it. Jesus said so clearly, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what happened on the cross. And he wants you to be saved. He draws all men to him. The Lord's Supper helps us to remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but it also, the Lord's Supper, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to revive the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. To revive the church. We talk about revival and maybe we'll have a revival service and go to a revival, have a revival. There's so much more to revival than just having a service. And here's what revival is. Revival is when we get our hearts right with God. When I get my heart right with God, I can have revival, to be brought back to life, this spiritual quickening. When you get your heart right with God, you can have revival. When a church gets its heart right with God, when the people of the church get right with God, the church can experience revival. One of the purposes of the Lord's Supper is revival, to revive the church. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you're still there. Now look at verse number 27. Verse number 27, we're going to read through verse 31. And then don't close it because we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 27, the Bible says this, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And then verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Here's the command, examine ourselves. Examine yourself, but let every man examine himself. This is important. It doesn't say to examine somebody else. Don't examine your husband, examine your wife, or examine the person sitting next to you. Examine yourself. Between you and God, is your heart right with him? A fresh look at the cross brings revival to the church because it brings revival to our hearts. If we could look at the cross, and if we could see what happened at the cross for what really happened there, Jesus willingly and sacrificially giving of himself with no thought of return, and he died for us and he paid the price for our sins. When we can go to the cross and experience that freshly and experience that anew, it'll bring revival to our hearts. God wants us to examine our hearts before we partake of the Lord's Supper. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You and I know this, none of us are worthy of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy. None of us are. We're all sinners. The only one person worthy of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So understanding that I am a sinner, I understand that, but I am a sinner saved by grace. And when Jesus paid the price for our sins, he covered our sins in his blood. But then God says, don't take of this without examining yourself. Don't take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Our sins have consequences. One of the consequences of our sins was the crucifixion of our Savior. I am the reason He died. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. And when you realize my sins had the consequence of Jesus Christ dying, partaking of the Lord's Supper while living with unconfessed sin in our lives is disrespectful to the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. If I know that I have sin in my heart, and I have not gotten that right with God, I've not confessed that to God, I'm being disrespectful to the broken body and blood of Jesus Christ. Examining ourselves means getting our heart right with God. Ms. Debbie played the piano, the offertory special tonight, "Search Me, O God." I had written this down in my notes. This comes from Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let me challenge you tonight before we partake of the Lord's Supper to have that conversation with God. Between you and God to say, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me." I don't want you to have that conversation with me. I don't want you to have that conversation with anybody else, but I do want you to have that conversation with God. Before I pick up that bread and I drink that juice, I want to have my heart right with God. That's why I want to say to God, "God, if there's anything in my heart that I have not confessed to you, would you please show me so that my heart can be right with you so that I can take this worthily?" Let me say this. This should not be a once-a-year thing. This shouldn't be something like so many people will practice and go down to Mardi Gras and party and have just a time of debauchery and sin and then have a season of Lent where they get right with God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an everyday thing. This ought to be an everyday. The Bible teaches us so clearly, God's mercies are new every morning. "Great is thy faithfulness," the psalmist said. Every day, let me challenge you, every day, start your day by saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Getting our hearts right with God, confessing sin to God. But before we take the Lord's Supper tonight, I want to encourage you, ask God that. "God, if there's anything in my heart that's not right, would you show me?" And then confess it. Oh, I love this promise from the Bible. "He that confesseth and forsaketh shall find," or shall have, "mercy." What a great promise from Scripture. Let me say this. The grammar's not correct, but I think the sentence is. Staying not right with God is not an option. You can't just say, "Well, I'm not right with God, and I've got this sin, and I'm just okay with that sin, so I'm just not going to take the Lord's Supper tonight." I mean, you could do that if you want to, but that wasn't an option that God gave us. God said, "I want you to take this, because I want you to do it in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me. But before you do it, get your heart right with me." And there's not an option that says, "No, I don't want my heart right with you, so I'm just not going to take it." The only option is get right. Get your heart right. Get your heart right with God. We're commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. Don't just sit out because your heart isn't right. Get it right. Examine your heart. Get it right with God and partake of the Lord's Supper. One of the reasons for the Lord's Supper is to bring Christians to a point of repentance. This is important for us. I want to come to the point of repentance. Repentance, turning back to God. Turning from, in this case, we are talking about sin. Turning from a sin that might be in my heart, turning back to God. I'm talking about Christians. Christians ought to repent. And I want to challenge you tonight. As the Bible says, examine yourself. Take a few moments just between you and God and examine yourself. Examine your heart. The Bible says, it's so good, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." When you come to God and say, "God, would you please show me?" and examine your heart and judge yourself, the Bible says, then I don't have to chasten you. If you come to me and willingly say, God, show me what's wrong in my heart so I can get it right, God says, I don't have to point it out to you. I don't have to bring you to the point where you're on your knees on rock bottom to get you to understand it, because you've willingly come to me. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What a great thought that is. The Lord's Supper is a time to deal with sins. Things that I've done, my actions. Why I've done what I've done, my motives. Things that I've thought. The attitude of my heart. How's my relationship with God right now? How's my relationship with other Christians right now? Does my life reflect the holiness of God, or am I living like the world? Am I rebelling against God in any area of my life? These are the questions that I challenge you to ask yourself and ask God. God, is my heart right with you? Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. When individual hearts get right with God, the entire church can have revival. It's an amazing thing. 1 Corinthians 11:17 said this. It's just a little bit before the part that we're reading, if you want to look at it. Chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. He was writing to a church, a real church with real people in it, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. This is right before he teaches about the Lord's Supper. When we examine our hearts by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is free to work, not just in our heart, but free to work in the church. And getting right with God heals divisions in the church. Getting right with God keeps heresies out of the church. Let me encourage you tonight, before we take the Lord's Supper, to spend just a moment getting right with God. Ask him to search your heart. Try your thoughts. The last reason I want to give you tonight, and we're almost done, is to not just remember the Lord Jesus, and not just to bring revival to the church, but to get ready for Jesus Christ to return. Now, this is an awesome thought. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26. Right there in the middle of this teaching on the Lord's Supper, you see it. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Yes, that's what we're here for, remembering our Savior. But there's three more words. Till he come. He's coming. He's coming back. The Lord's Supper is to help us get ready for the Lord's return. The Lord's Supper, first of all, it's a reminder that Jesus promised to return. Jesus said this to his disciples, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. Talking about the Lord's Supper, the very first one that he had with the disciples. I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new. Listen to this. With you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus said, this is my last one. The Last Supper, we call it. Until I have it with you. Until you are in my Father's kingdom with me. And then I will have this supper again. This is an amazing thought. The Lord's Supper is one of the things that we know that we will do in heaven. There's a lot of things that we won't do in heaven, but what we're about to do tonight in just a few moments, we're going to do this in heaven. We're going to do this partaking of the Lord's Supper, this remembering of His sacrifice for us. We're going to do it not just in heaven, but we are going to do it with our Savior. We're going to partake of this broken bread and this juice with the one who actually had his body broken and shed his blood for us. What a thought that is. While we're on this earth, the Lord's Supper reminds us of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. And while we're in heaven, the Lord's Supper reminds us of the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. It's still going to be just as valuable then as it is now. The Lord's Supper is a reminder that Jesus promised to return, and the Lord's Supper is a checkpoint to make sure that you've been saved. Part of that examining your heart is just thinking through this. Have I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior? Now, I do not want you to doubt. That is not why I say that. I say that to many. I don't remember the statistics exactly, but the statistics say that in a church, there are a number, a percentage of people that are just not saved. I don't want anybody to think that you're going to go to heaven because you attended church. That doesn't get anybody to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven because you sat in a pew. You're not going to go to heaven because you sang in a choir or you taught a Sunday school class. The only way to go to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, again, I said I don't want to cause doubt, and I'll go even further to that, and I'll say this. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's promise is you are saved. If you just simply believed the gospel enough to ask Him to save you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, just that amount of faith, God's promise is you are saved. No doubt based on God's promise. But if you haven't done that, the Lord's Supper is a checkpoint. It's a graphic reminder that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son on the cross to save you from hell and pay the price for you to spend eternity in heaven. What a reminder. What a reminder. When I look at the cross, I'm reminded that I'm saved. I'm reminded that Jesus paid the price for me to get saved. One of the reasons for the Lord's Supper, to prepare to spend eternity in heaven with God, to prepare for Jesus' return. And the one biggest thing you need to do, the primary thing you need to do to prepare for Jesus' return is to get saved, is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the number one priority. And when we stop and we have the Lord's Supper, it reminds us about our Savior and His broken body and His shed blood. It's an opportunity for us to have our hearts revived as we get things right with God, as we examine ourselves. And it's a preparation for the return of Christ. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day that will be when it's not me leading the Lord's Supper. I feel so unqualified to even be up here saying these things, but it's an honor to be able to. But I'm so excited about the day when it won't be me up here, but it's going to be our Savior. He's going to say, take that bread. That represents my body. And take that juice and drink that, because that represents the blood that I shed for you. Even in Revelation, and I didn't even write this down because I wasn't thinking about it until just now, Jesus presents Himself as the Lamb that had been slain. And that's what we'll recognize Him as. Father, thank You for this time that we can spend together reflecting on the reason for the Lord's Supper. Lord, would You meet with us here for just a few moments? Lord, we are sinful people. We live in a sinful body of flesh and blood, and we give into temptations, and we sin, and we struggle. Sometimes we look good on the outside, but maybe our motives are wrong, or our thoughts are not pure. Lord, would you search our hearts tonight? Would You see if there be any wicked way in us and show us? Lord, I can only speak for myself, but as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, I don't want anything between me and You. I don't want any sin in my life that keeps me from You. Lord, I ask You to show us anything that might be maybe a rebellious heart towards You or towards our authority, our parents, or maybe a heart of strife towards somebody else, or maybe a lack of faith, or maybe it's some activity that we're involved in or some show that we're watching or something that we're doing that's just not right. And Lord, if it's the case, would You show that to us and would You help us to get that right with You? Would You give us the courage to confess it? And we'll just lean on Your promise that You'll give us mercy.